The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TrueGreen.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Marvin Vettori's been waiting.
I just trained so hard, and this is my reward. You know, that's what I want. This is my life.
Marvin, the Italian dream.
Let's fucking go.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous! Listen to me, we're at it!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered, a post-Christmas show. We hope everybody had a great holiday. I'm very stressed today. I've been traveling, so let's get right down to it. We have Marvin Vettori is in the waiting room, and we don't want to make Marvin wait. I'm happy he was available to come on today.
Well, Jimmy, you could have said hello. I know you should.
Oh, hello, guys. Sorry, man.
I mean,
sorry.
No, to me. Not to the audience.
I apologize. You're right. I'm stressed.
Jimmy, I don't want you to be stressed. I want you to sit back. I want you to let me take the wheel.
I didn't think I was going to get here on time.
I know. I thought maybe I had to do this by start it by myself and you join in because of circumstances. But look at this. Look who we have on.
Hey, Marvin.
We have the Italian Dream.
Hello.
Hey, buddy.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
We did not speak to the Italian Dream. We spoke to him before his last fight.
That's right.
Not since.
Where are you now?
So I'm actually in Italy now, chilling for a little bit for Christmas and New Year's Eve. So I'll be back in California around the 10th of January and back training and getting ready for the next one.
How was your Christmas? Was it nice? Was it good? It must have been even extra special after that nice victory you had.
It was good. It was awesome. Even though everything is closed even here, but you know, passing it with family and friends and everybody, it's obviously super great. And yeah, man, no, it was good finally to enjoy Christmas after, you know, a good win. And even though I cannot really like chill completely because I'm always thinking about training, but that's still good. So it was awesome.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Hey, Marvin, is there any Christmas specials or shows that you watch like every year? I love the Christmas Story. You ever see the Christmas Story with little Ralphie and he gets mounted on the bully and he's like beating the shit out of him? You ever see that movie?
No, I don't think I did.
It's a classic. Over here.
I gotta see it.
Jimmy, you saw the Christmas Story.
Yeah, that's where his tongue gets stuck to the thing, right?
They double, triple dog dared him, the little kid, to put his tongue to a cold pole and said it would stick. So that kid, and it's stuck on a pole.
Yeah.
Never mind. It's a good movie.
Oh, I saw that movie. It's just a lot of times they have like different names because I watched them in Italian. So
yes.
I don't recognize the title of it, but I think I did watch that movie. Yeah. I remember that scene where the kid put the tongue out.
Dude, he got mounted. He must have had those Gracie tapes back in the day because he got mounted on that bully. And he was just beating the shit out of this redheaded ginger kid. It was so great. All right. Back to
And Marvin, I don't know if the rankings matter to you, but you're number 5 now. I mean, I'm not sure where you were right before that, but you must be happy with where you're at after that. That was incredible.
They just changed it today, and I'm number 4 for some reason.
We don't have the updated one. That's awesome.
It was kind of weird.
I like that after your fight that you weren't shy on naming some names. Darren Till was one of them. Paulo Costa got a lot of people saying, ooh. I was one of them. I went, ooh.
Yeah.
That sounds exciting. You know,
he never said anything back though. He never said anything back. He never even acknowledged my call out. It's whatever, man. I think he's not gonna. I don't think he belongs to the top five, to be honest. But it's okay. I mean, like you said, I called out everybody. I was too excited, I guess. So.
Well, deserving, to be excited. I mean, that fight, first of all, it was an amazing fight. You know, it was a great fight. And props to Jack for hanging in there.
Yeah, after very
that
tough.
First round, man. So, I mean, in your fight, it was a week earlier than you thought you'd be fighting. You were supposed to fight Jacare Souza.
Yeah.
Oh, did you see his fight with Kevin Holland, by the way?
Yeah, man. Like, it was a little like props to Kevin Holland. I'm not gonna take anything away from Kevin Holland, but it was a little bit weird, man. Like, you know, like from top position, such a guy, such a phenom in the ground, like a guy like Jacare, you know, like, but you know, I feel like Kevin Holland has a very weird way of fighting, and yeah, it's good, but it was a weird fight. I feel.
Yeah, that was such an odd. I've never seen anyone get knocked out like that. I mean, I've seen most things, I think. Have you seen anybody come off the back like that and kind of sling themselves into a punch that way?
I saw a few fights ending up like that, but never like very, very high level fights. You know, like, it's kind of weird. It's weird, but you know, like, it's a fight. So it's not that, like, you know, sometimes unorthodox stuff works too. And
right.
Sometimes there are the things that work the most because you don't expect them. Yeah, like I was like, he got taken down right from the get-go. And I'm like, man, like, he's not going to be a good fight for Kevin Holland. Then I see, like, him being active, like, getting into kind of, like, those situations where, like, you should be able to, like, deal with them easily. But you get stuck with them. Like, you know, like, when he got, like, in that triangle where he looked like he wasn't a close triangle, but it was, like, it wasn't close, but it was getting punched a lot. And then I'm like, it's kind of weird, you know, but good. It's, you know, good fight, and props to Kevin Holland. Yeah, but it was a weird fight for sure.
It was a weird fight, yeah.
Well, Kevin's a weird dude in a good way. I mean, I like Kevin. And then the way he fights is very unorthodox, very relaxed. And he's got Travis Luter, a well-known black belt. I mean, world-class. And he's used to that pressure on top. So that's where I thought he'd be used to some of the pressure that Jacare would be bringing because of his trainer, Travis Luter. But let me tell you about well-roundedness, man. I was impressed. Jack Hermanson came out that second round deep on that single, and you just were not accepting that shit, and you ended up reversing him. You out-grappled Jack, and Jack's a stud on the floor. So I thought that was very impressive.
Yeah, thank you, man. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I wasn't, you know, I was like, I respect his ground, but I wasn't fearing his ground at all. I knew like, I don't fear anybody in the ground. Anybody in the grappling department, I don't fear anybody. Like, I don't feel like anybody can control me more than 10 seconds. Even if they get a good position on me, there's no way they're going to keep it. So, you know, I'm such a complete fighter. I mean, I split basically evenly my training all the time. Like, it's not that I focus more on striking than grappling and vice versa. I always split evenly all my training. I can make adjustments depending on the guy that I'm fighting, but, you know, I more or less train every discipline almost evenly. So I'm ready, man. And I put in the work. Like, I always train. It's not that I take time off. It's not that I take, like, you know, it's not that I just train for camp. So I keep improving too. And I don't fear anybody. I feel like in the top five is actually, I think I have by far the best grappling in the top five. And who's out there? Yeah, by far. Like, there's nobody that can match my ground, actually. In my grappling in general, I feel. Jack was the other grappler that was good in the higher rankings in the division. But after that, I don't think anybody can even come close to match my grappling.
The fight before yours, when Jack fought your teammate, Kelvin Gastelum, and got him in that nasty heel hook.
Yeah.
Did Kelvin tell you, like, look, man, don't let this dude get on your fucking legs or something like that? Because Kelvin's not an easy guy to tap either.
No, I mean, but I feel like, and I told him too, just like, I don't know what happened there, but he clearly made a mistake. I mean, obviously Jack did good, but I feel like it was more a mistake off of Kelvin in the defense, I feel like, because he kind of freezed over there. And I mean, you know, Conley is my boy, but at the same time, you know, he's, if you make a mistake, I think he's good to recognize it. And I think he kind of made a mistake there. And I knew, like, I was like, what the hell, why is he not turning around like the way I did, basically? But he kind of froze. And, you know, Jack is a very experienced guy and very opportunistic in a way. Like, if he goes for something, like, if he gets something, he's going to go for it really hard. And he got it. But I feel like Jack was good, but I think it was a little bit more of a mistake off of Calvin. And I knew, man, and I was working a lot of defense. Like, I had Naaman Gracie on my corner, man. Like,
I was going to bring that up. First of all, I love Naaman Gracie. He's a great fighter. Great and a great kid. What a nice
guy. Yeah, what a good he's a super nice guy.
How did you become friends with Naaman Gracie? Because I saw that. And you got the mask on. So I'm like, wait a minute. And I didn't know until afterwards. I'm like, oh, shit, it's Naaman. Because I know him from – he was in the city before I think he moved out by
yeah.
How did you become friends with Naaman? He's training.
No, he moved. He moved to California now to train at Kings. So he's there now.
That's a great addition. Yeah.
It's a super nice addition, man. I was so happy he came. And since, you know, I asked him and I thought, like, you know, I asked him to be my corner. And since he said yes, I was so happy. I was so confident in any kind of defense because his guillotine and his leg locks are, I knew they're better than Jack Hermanson's leg lock and guillotine. So I went in so confident. Like, his guillotine is nasty, man. Like Naaman Gracie had some crazy jiu-jitsu, some MMA crazy jiu-jitsu. Like, MMA jiu-jitsu. His MMA jiu-jitsu is just crazy. Like, it's whenever he goes for something, it's a pain in the ass. So I was like, I was very confident. And the fact that he was there was also like a good source of like he was giving me a lot of like calmness, you know, like the fact that he was there in the corner. And even throughout the whole 5 week, we trained a lot of like leg lock defenses and like and then guillotine defenses, back defenses. And I was confident, man. But at the same time, I was respecting his ground because I was actually surprised the way like he was active from the bottom. Like, he was like, people like a few people asked me like, why weren't you punching him? Because I was like, man, like, this guy was super active. Like, he was looking for grips. He was trying to get under me. He was really like, you can tell Jack is a guy that trains on his back a lot too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's not just like the top guy. He trains jiu-jitsu on his back too. Like, I feel like a lot of MMA guys don't do that much anymore, but I'm sure he does because he was very active. Like, he had like those 3-4 things that he kept trying to do to me. And you can see one time he tried to elevate me and get under, and I don't let him. But, you know, one of the facts why I wasn't that active punching him is because he was very active with his guard. So props to his ground game. But I feel like after him now, in the top five, in the like, if we're talking about grappling, there's nobody that is really that great, to be honest.
I mean, Costa seems like the most logical fight because Cannonier lost to Whitaker. Whitaker may get the next shot at the title. I don't know, but would Costa be, if he doesn't respond to you or if he doesn't want the fight, he may think he's entitled to the next title fight, which he's not. Would you be willing to take a guy like Kevin Holland, or do you want to, is it for you, is it definitive you want someone in the top five?
I mean, I think I deserve a fight in the top five, you know, like, I feel like the fight to make now is Darren Till. Like, I feel like me and Darren Till have to prove who's the best European fighter, even though I am, because like, he hasn't even been fighting for the last 10 months and he hasn't, you know, he hasn't proved nothing in the middleweight division. Like, he's like 1-3 in his last four fights, basically. And his win was a very, like, it wasn't any dominant. He just stole a win from Calvin again, yeah, somehow. But I don't think he proved that. Like, I'm coming off four wins. My last loss, which is even, I don't even see, like, I don't even recognize it as a loss that much, to be honest, because I came out, like, perfect. Like, my face wasn't even bothered at all, and nothing. Like, I mean, but that was my last loss was at Adesanya. And now, you know, somebody like him is ranked above me with one win in the middleweight division. But I think that's the fight to make. I think I like that fight, and you know, it's, you know, I like the matchup, and I think once for all, I can claim the number one spot in Europe for now.
You know what I love, and they're probably going to use this you know, in the future. Like, it was at the press conference. It was at the post-fight press conference, and you were saying how Adesanya was like, after you guys first fought in a very close fight, he was saying, you'll basically never see Marvin again. And now you're like, look, I'm here, motherfucker. I'm back. I'm here. I didn't go nowhere. That was fucking awesome. But it was like he was writing you off like, I'm the champ now. You'll never see this guy again type of thing. And now look, now you're right back knocking on his door, man.
Exactly. I'm like the guy that you kick out of the door, out of the back door, and then 2 minutes after he's knocking back on the window, like, I'm here, buddy. Still here, buddy.
I think that's a fight everybody wants to see. I wonder if they give him Whitaker. I mean, I'm always wrong about this shit, too. I always think I know the order it's going to go in, and I'm always – I mean, again, if I'm picking, I would say maybe Whitaker, Adesanya next, and again, you and Costa, and the winner of that fight's the winner of that fight. That's what I would love to see as a fan, although I love the Darren Till fight, too.
I don't know if they're ready to get – I mean, if it's in the work or what, but, like, I've seen a lot of people talking about Whitaker and Costa. So that's why I wasn't really okay, Costa's kind of like already has something going on with Whitaker. That's why I haven't pushed with Costa that much anymore. But plus he hasn't even answered back to me. Like he's kind of like playing like he doesn't even see me, which is kind of stupid because I'm right there. But yeah, whatever, man. To be honest, I think I really love the Darren Till fight. That's the fight I would like to make. But whoever, to be honest, man.
You know what? You make sense. Because as we're talking, I'm forgetting. Aren't they talking? Isn't Adesanya fighting Jan Blachowicz? Isn't that what they were talking about? So if he's jumping up and wait, that's going to be a while before he defends middleweight belt again. So that makes perfect sense. Whitaker, Costa, you, and Darren Till. And then you guys are ready when he comes back.
Yeah.
Or whatever the matchup is.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, Blachowicz and Adesanya, I think now they're actually scheduled. And if Whitaker and Costa is on the work, which by the way, I think Whitaker will smash Costa. And then Whitaker will be right there. And I don't know, man. I don't know. I feel like Whitaker doesn't want to fight Adesanya. So I definitely want to do it. And you can bet it will be a hell of a fight. So after I beat Darren Till, that should be the fight to make, me and Adesanya.
It's interesting to see, too, and Matt and I talk about this a lot, too, how somebody responds after a first loss, like when they're undefeated for a while. So it'll be interesting to see how Costa responds after taking that first loss. Does it kind of break who he thought he was and make him now vulnerable, or does he come back and just start winning again? I'm always interested to see the first fight after a loss for an undefeated fighter.
True. I don't think he's a guy that is going to take that loss very well, to be honest. His confidence was built on strength and being big and maybe being able to take some punishment in a sense, but all that got taken away in this last fight. Basically, like being big didn't help him. Taking some damage, he took too much and he broke. And then what else did I say? And then being strong also. Like I mean, you know, strength is a good skill to have, but if you just have that, it's definitely not enough.
Right.
Lucio Lenny from Mice and Men. It worked out for him.
It did. And until it didn't, though. It wound up causing a problem.
Huh? He took the hand and he crushed it.
He did.
You ever see? It's an American book, and I don't know. But anyway. Fuck yeah, Marvin. Hey, man, listen. All the guys we're talking about, I'm excited. Yeah. And I agree with you. I don't think Costa, I don't think he handled that well at all, that loss. What he's saying, the best is afterwards. When he's like, oh, I saw what you did behind me when you pretended to hump me. Now you're in trouble. It's like, hey, dude, you're not really intimidating. You were right in front of me in a cage, and now you're getting angry? What the fuck?
That was definitely disrespectful from Adesanya, but we all know he's not the most, likable guy. I don't like him at all. I mean, you better not lose to that guy, or you better not, lose that way, because he's gonna, how can I say, take advantage in a sense. I could see that coming in a sense. I feel like Adesanya is the kind of guy that will take advantage if he can, you know. So
Marvin, we were just talking about, I was talking about your grappling and how I was impressed with it. What do you think of the fighters that take these grappling matches, like between fights and this and that? And what do you think about that? Because I just seen the RDA versus Donald Cerrone match. And I don't know. I want to talk about that later with you, Jimmy, too, Jimmy. But sure. But what do you think about guys that do that?
I guess it's for money, you know. Like, I don't think it's for any
Can't be that much. Can't be that much.
Yeah.
So
I know. Probably it's not that much, but you're right. Like, I got offered a few times too, but the money weren't good, and I'm like, man, like, it's like if you're in your prime and you're following, and I feel like so. That's the thing. If you're in your prime and you're following, like, you're trying to be the number one of what you do, you shouldn't take those kind of. Those kind of fights,
you know,
absolutely
at this level. Because, you know, it's funny. I read the headlines and it was like, or I seen the clip. Oh, Donald Cerrone submits RDA like twice because they started from the arm lock or something. But the thing is, it's so misleading because then I watched the match and shit, man, RDA's jiu-jitsu looked great. He was pulling guard, going for like X guard sweeps and getting beautiful reversals from bottom. And don't get me wrong, Cerrone's hard to submit, so he was getting out of things and getting back up to his feet. But this is the problem with this rule set when they do these grappling events, some of them.
Yeah.
After a certain time limit, Marvin, they start from an arm lock. He got him in an arm lock. But the great Hicks and Gracie said this once to me. He goes, you know, when they talk about the overtime, when they start from the back position or the arm bar, Hickson said, but they didn't conquer that position. And that makes sense. In other words, Donald never passed his guard and got him in an arm lock and finished him. They started from a fucking arm lock. Give RDA a break. Now the headlines are always submitted him from the... Yeah, but you started from there, see, suckers? I don't know. I get it.
They did that rule just because with a problem with the time, because they started doing like no time, and then they started doing 20 minutes, and then they were getting draws, and draws weren't fair because maybe, you know, like giving a draw where RDA it's all over them, so it's not fair. Even though
I get it.
But then they did that, but that's why I don't like them. Also, yeah.
It's weird because it's a game. It's not. It doesn't translate to a fight as well as the old school rules, which might not be as entertaining in grappling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, if there was 2 points you're losing when you go to your back, RDA, they might have just been having a shitty wrestling match. You know what I mean? Like that type of thing. Nobody wants to go to their back. But I don't know. I see something like that, and it doesn't represent the better grappler because that guy didn't get his fucking arm. Like, I don't know.
You're right. And I feel like I remember watching one show a long time ago where Tom Breeze did something like that. And then he got submitted and he broke his knee and he was out for 2 years. And man, come on, what would you do with such a stupid thing like that? You know, just for what? I get it. Like, maybe it's a good experience, but come on, man, you're falling your dream to be the number one of what you do. You shouldn't do that, you know? And I'm the first one. I didn't do the ABI rules or anything like that. I just did like a couple times when I had like time off between fights. I did the Nogi Wards, but. I did the Nogi Wars. I think the last time I did them was like 3 years ago or something. But I wouldn't do it anymore for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting because you, again, the guys who just read the headlines, they're like, wow, man, Donald's probably the better jiu-jitsu guy. And it's like, man, not by far. And when I saw that, I go, I was impressed with RDA's jiu-jitsu. I thought it was beautiful.
Yeah, no, he's RDA comes and trains with I trained with RDA before too. Like, RDA jiu-jitsu is just legit. Like, he goes to Homolo too. He's super legit. Like Benny Darius, RDA, me, and a few other guys. We always go like to train at Homolo's and I mean, he's solid. He's definitely super solid.
Yeah. Well, dude, you have all the bases covered, buddy, and you got the attitude to back it up, which I like. You got that spunk. You're not afraid to make some enemies.
Yeah.
I love that. Right? Kevin Holland. He's putting him in a stroller.
Kevin Holland, you got to give props to Kevin Holland. If Kevin Holland wins another fight and he calls me out and it makes sense or whatever, like, I mean, I'm chasing it out, but at one point, I feel like that fight will have to happen. I'm going to chase the title for sure, but I'm, you know, like, to be honest, this is actually, nobody knows this, but I think, what did happen? I think he texted me. I texted him actually. I texted him on Instagram or something, and I said something like, I don't remember if he texted me or, because he texted me a long time ago and I didn't answer. So I texted him back a long time after. And I said, hey man, like if you gain, now I'm a little bit ahead of you, but if you gain your spot to fight me, let's do it. I'm more than happy to do it. You know, like at the end of the day, I feel like I will smash that kid too. You know, like he's a fighter and he somehow finds way to win fights, but he's not a really solid fighter. You know, so the way I fight, he's not really like it's a bad matchup for him. But he's winning fights, so props to him. If he gains a spot later on, hopefully I'm already the champ. And if you want to, you know, challenge me, I'm all about it. So let's go.
He's got that focus. He's got the hunger and the focus, Jimmy.
Yeah, you looked unstoppable against him. I'm like, this is a guy on a mission. That's how you feel when you're watching you in that last fight. Like, this is a guy who is not going to stop until he gets a title shot. It was incredible. And you know, we love you, man. And so I was really happy for you. And the division is so exciting right now. Any matchup that you're in is not going to be a bad matchup. I mean, any fight you're in is going to be great, whether it's Till or it's Whitaker or Costa. But if they're working on Costa Whitaker, you against Till is probably next. So,
if it wasn't the Italian Dream, it'd be the Italian Terminator.
That's a great name too.
Walks on him, and then he showed us like less than a week later, he's all fucking healed up. The hell's in that? What's in that pasta you're eating?
Crazy. I don't know, man. But you know, I grew up on good food.
Have a good New Year, Marvin. It's great talking to you. Thank Enjoy you. Your holiday, man. You earned it, and I'm sure we'll hear from you in January or February again. I'm sure. Well, now maybe. When do you look at? Maybe March. You think? You did.
Yeah, March. I think March will be a good day. Yeah, March. Yeah. Late March. Yeah.
Awesome.
But yeah, man. Thank you guys for having me. It's always great to be on your
Anytime.
Show.
So. Hey, man. All right. Have a great New Year. We'll talk to you in 2021. All right. Take care, Marvin.
Later, Marvin.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Hey, Megan, how are you?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Yeah, we're doing well. How's your holidays going?
It's going great. Thank you. How about yours?
Uneventful and weird because of what's been happening all year. It's just a weird, uneventful, you know, it's kind of like I want it to be over just so I don't have to keep looking at what I'm missing.
Yeah, I hear that.
Hey, Megan, do you and Joe have any holiday movies you guys like? Do you ever see Christmas Story?
Oh, yeah. He likes that one. I'm not a huge fan. I feel like that's more male skewed.
It might be. It might
I agree.
Be. Shits. They were funny. His little brother's a spoiled little brat. And Ralphie was a pisser, though. Little Ralphie got mounted and started beating the crap out of that boat. I love that.
Yeah, we had that on for like a while during Christmas Day, but I'm the holiday movie person. I sort of force it on Joe. So,
what do you like to watch?
Well, my favorite is the Santa Claus with Tim Allen.
Oh, snap. There's three of them.
I ever saw that.
Oh my God, it's so good. And then I like, you know, The Grinch and Elf and White Christmas. Elf. I used to watch that. Yeah.
Which is the last one? Batman, that's a great holiday movie with Mel Gibson. Where he plays Santa Claus and Walton Goggins is hired. Some kid hires an assassin to kill Santa Claus because Santa didn't give him what he wanted. It came out this year. It was awesome. Mel Gibson played Santa.
Is it a comedy?
Yeah, so it's a dark movie, and Walton Goggins is amazing. It's really weird and a great movie. It's great.
Okay, well, we will add that to the list for sure.
Yeah, it's not as holiday. It's not as holiday or like if you like the sled and gifts, you might not care for this as much.
Right.
Yeah, it's not the most traditional. You should. Yeah.
It sounds like
kids or no?
No, we don't. Just adults.
Oh, okay. So that's good. So do you normally travel around this time of year? What would you normally do?
Well, yeah, I mean, for the past few years, we've actually spent Christmas at home, but I normally try to go home to the East Coast to see my family around Christmas. So usually like the week before. But yeah, this time we just stayed put, canceled, you know, a lot of the other things we had going on. I do some work for the NFL on Fox. So I had to kind of pull back on all that just to make sure we're staying safe and being healthy for the return to Fight Island in January. So there's just a lot of moving parts. So yeah, we just stayed home and just like chilled out. Honestly, it was kind of great because we didn't have to, there was no obligations to anyone. I just cooked a bunch of food and we ate our faces off.
That's nice.
I'll tell you, I'm looking forward to Fight Island. I'm going there too, Jimmy. I don't know if I told you.
I don't like it.
Yeah, we're doing another show.
I don't like that Matt's always
Dana
leaving.
Dana needs me. Dana needs me. You know, me and Dean Thomas, we have a good time. I'm reading about this new podcast you're doing, Becoming a Fighter.
Yeah.
And it profiles fighters' lives before they enter the UFC. Now, let me tell you two what I watched this morning, okay? And I'm not ashamed to admit that it was waterfalls. I was crying like a little bee. Aljamain Sterling's show is called they did a little special on him. The guy Rory who does Looking for a Fight.
He just texted it to me. I haven't watched it yet.
No, I'm telling you. Maybe because I know him, but oh man, it was very powerful.
Yeah.
I sent a picture with me with tears with a finger to the producer because I'm tight with him. Because I was watching it as he sent me the link. Because he told me, I have my little routine where I get my laptop and I get a seltzer and an espresso. And then, not the detail, but I handle my business in the morning and I'm in my bathroom and I'm watching my laptop and I'm sipping my stuff. And next thing you know, too many PMI. Sorry, Megan.
Not but at all. I love to hear it.
Next thing you know, holy shit, Jimmy, I'm watching it. And I'm an emotional guy.
Yes.
And I love Aljo. He's my buddy. Yes. So then I watched, I knew about his background. But, you know, he has like 19 half brothers and sisters. And he had a little bit of a rough growing up. But when you see it, and then they do like reenactments. Oh, man. I want to fly in Vegas and give him a hug.
Wait, now is Aljo, did the fighters ever star in their own reenactments? Or is it all from when they were much younger?
Well, it's when he was like a
kid. Okay. And I'm asking because Ali played himself in a movie. It was weird. So it was kind of weird. Muhammad Ali played himself in a movie and it was weird. It was, I think it was called The Greatest.
Oh, you're thinking of Will Smith.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Ali.
Yeah. Ali. No,
he did play himself. So I'm like wondering, are they doing any reenactments? If they're using actors, it's okay.
Well, listen, if anybody didn't see it, it's not broken.
Yeah.
Aljamain Sterling. But yeah. Now, is that what your show's going to, not, it's not reenactments, but.
No. So basically, it's an idea that I have been annoying our executives about for like 2 years now. But, you know, I just enjoy the storytelling part of our sport because, you know, certainly being married to an athlete on the roster gives you an insight to them. And then you start to get to know these guys and women on the UFC roster and you're like, wow, they all have such crazy stories. Like you could really pick any fighter on any given card and give their background story. And it's always going to be something wild. You know what I mean? Traditionally, you're not going to fight because like you've had like this amazing experience through your youth, you know? And so Becoming a Fighter podcast is essentially where our fighters narrate in their own words, their journey from, you know, their younger years and whether that is, you know, from when they're born all the way through or, you know, middle school, whatever, and how they actually got that opportunity to fight into the UFC octagon. So, you know, we started with Ian Heinisch, who, if you guys are familiar with even part of his story,
is
absurd. And then we were recording for like 2.5 hours. It just never ended. Like just all the things he went through. He tells it simply, you know, he states it however he best feels is the way to express himself in that journey. And then, you know, it kind of gives people, especially in the circumstances we're in now, you know, an opportunity to be like, wow, if they can do it and if they had all of these challenges, well, certainly so can I.
Oh, it's inspiring. We know Ian. We know Ian, but give us a quick, and I want them to listen to your podcast, but give us a quick little rundown. What's going on with Ian?
Yeah, so Ian, he came from Colorado, like one of the top 10 best places to grow up. It was voted in America. But he was put on a huge dose of Ritalin as a kid. He started drinking at like 13, doing cocaine at like 15. Oh, and then he just had a million opportunities to succeed. And somehow it never went his way. You know, he was addicted to drugs. He was supposed to go to jail for selling thousands of ecstasy pills. He was actually caught in this huge sting operation. And instead of serving his time, he actually fled the country and ended up going to Europe. He ended up in prison in Spain, came back to America, went to Rikers, and it still doesn't end after Rikers. I mean, his story is just, it's almost like a movie couldn't even thought of it. It's so crazy. There's so many twists and turns where we didn't, I mean, if you were going to add all the details, it'd be like a 4-hour podcast. But I mean, it is so crazy. And to know Ian, you know, he was ranked. I think he's climbing back into the rankings now. He's fighting Kelvin Gastelum. Like the guy has had, you know, 15 lives, and he certainly is grateful for all of them. But he's made this journey to not just like, oh, okay, he's an athlete. He is one of the best fighters on our roster. And it's just crazy to hear what he went through to get here.
And Megan, you tell it so well too. And it's got to be like, if you do a guy like Ian, who does have an amazing story, how much vetting do you do of a fighter? Like, for instance, like all of them have something interesting, but it's hard if you have a guy like Ian, or you have like Ngannou, who I think was sleeping outdoors at one point, and then all of a sudden this one guy, all right, well, I wrestled and I just wanted to fight. So I fought. And then you realize like, oh, wow, that's just a really quick path. Like, so do you do a little background checking first?
Yeah. And, you know, I'm in a really nice position to be pretty comfortable with most of the athletes on our roster, at least know something about them and their story. So, you know, we created sort of a short list of athletes who we know, okay, there's something extra to what it took to get here. They're great personalities. They'll be able to explain themselves throughout the process. But yeah, there is a lot of pre-research done. We do a call before the actual podcast recording, and you know, we have a list. I probably have like 30 fighters that I'm like, we have to do them next. But you know, it's a process, and hopefully people like the project so we can continue going. The next episode is actually Rose Namajunas, who has
great story.
Tremendous story. And she's such an advocate for mental health causes, and just making sure that people are aware of how much your mental health can impact you. And you know, she had a really very tough childhood, and she became UFC champion, and it's the story everyone dreams of, right? That Cinderella story from rags to riches. But she has a very optimistic way of looking at life, but also she's very candid about the things she's gone through.
I think one time I was interviewing Dominic Cruz, I think it was actually on another radio show, and I think he was talking about depression, and he was really, really interesting to talk to about that too. He was very open about it.
Yeah, he actually is. I think that it's becoming something people are a lot more comfortable talking about. And I think it's something that, again, to fight for a living or maybe even to compete at the highest level, I do think that you've got to have some battles within as well that motivate you and propel you to continue to find success or continue to show up every day when, you know, you're getting your head punched in or whatever it may be, or getting tackled all day long. So I think that there are a lot of internal battles with everyone on our roster, but the more they verbalize it and vocalize it, I mean, the more we can normalize it for not just all of our athletes, but also just regular people who are struggling, you know?
Is this audio, video, or both?
It's just audio. Just audio, purely podcast, and it's going to live on your feed right now.
That's great.
That is excellent. When does it come out?
Ian's episode came out last week. It's still relatively new, and Rose's will come out this week. So fingers crossed everyone likes it. We can continue doing more.
Well, I'm definitely going to listen.
Yeah, because they're both very interesting people. And as soon as you say the names, like, oh yeah, their stories are great, and they're involved, you know, and they're long enough for you. Like, that's a really interesting podcast to listen to someone just talk about what got them to where they are.
Yeah, and I think the interesting thing is you don't have to be a fight fan. Like, you can know absolutely nothing about fighting and still find the appeal in it. And I think, you know, our fans are so wonderful and they love our sport. But I also think this is an opportunity to kind of explain who our athletes are. I think sometimes if you're not familiar with the sport, you can have this negative perception of maybe who goes into that octagon sometimes, when in reality, you know, all of our athletes are just incredible human beings. So this is a great way for people to understand like the journeys they've gone through to get here. And whether you understand what the technique that's going on inside the octagon or you watch your fights or not, it's still these human stories that are so important.
You know what's so great about this is that it takes it further, excuse me, than the contender, which I love, the contender. But what I like about the contender and even the ultimate fighter is you get to know more about the fighters. They're not just cavemen. You get to know about, especially the contender, because they really kind of get into it. And before the fight starts, you're like, oh, I want him to win. Or I like, oh, man, this guy had it rough. And so this takes it like to the next level of that.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, for me, like when I do our shows, you'll see me sometimes give like a 30-second synopsis of some facts about the person as they're walking out. And for me, that's like my favorite part of my job is being able to give like a little bit of background information, why you should care. But we only get to do a couple every night and they're limited to like within a 30-second range. So this is a way to really give our athletes a platform and for not people like us to explain it or not for us to produce a package, but for them to literally express themselves in whatever words they want to use and however they want to portray that story. It's not like we're summarizing, you know, things for them or I'm trying to quick get in 30 seconds. Oh my gosh, they told me this incredible story and here it is in a little soundbite. This is really like in their own words, which I think gives them a lot more freedom and confidence to say what they want to say without having to worry about like their words getting skewed.
You're really good in those moments too. Like just as a broadcaster, I watch, like I'm so clumsy and all over the place. Like I would be so awful. I would not be, but you're so good into camera. And I always notice that how you time it perfectly. Like your timing is always amazing. So I don't know if they ever cut you off or if they're giving you a countdown, but your timing is very impressive.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, they count me in and then it's just all making sure it's memorized. You know, I write it, I rewrite it a million times through the week. I time it out myself and then we rehearse it just to make sure that like the director and producer know when to have the fighters go for their walk. Because Matt, you know, you're waiting backstage kind of like behind that curtain, probably the worst part of the whole night, that anticipation. And then, so we just rehearse it. They'll hear my script. I'll say whatever I'm going to say. And then they figure out on what word they want to release those fighters to start walking. So it's up to me to make sure I'm nailing it and not messing up, not stumbling over my words, that it's perfectly timed and, you know, making it look like I have a teleprompter, even though we don't.
That's even more impressive that there's no teleprompter, that you memorize that. That's really impressive.
Thank you.
How did this, you seem very passionate about this. How did it come about? Did you bring this up? They approached you with this?
About the reports I do on the broadcast?
The podcast.
Oh, the podcast. So it's kind of a little bit of both. I had pitched it maybe a year and a half ago to one of my bosses named Chris over at the UFC. And it was actually, the example I used was Rose. And I just wanted to have like an extended sit down because, again, I think like I want people to know my husband as not just a great fighter, but also just as this tremendous human being who's overcome so much in his life. And like, look what his life could have been, but look what he made it. So for me, I want to give that opportunity to everybody else on our roster. So it was something that I had pitched a long time ago. You know, it wasn't really in the plan. I don't, you know, you've got a budget for these things. You have to have people who are available to make it happen. And then they came back around this year and they're like, you want to try it before the end of the year? And I was just so excited. You know, Blue Duck is part of the production. They've helped us with everything. They've been amazing. But it's nice to be able to like, kind of get that producer feel as well, you know, make sure I'm on the pre-call and we're taking the story in the right direction and help with scripts and edits and stuff. For me, like storytelling is my most favorite thing. And I love our athletes on this roster. And I think it's so important that they have the opportunity to have their stories heard like, you know, the other big sports in this world. So if I can add to the positivity of what's happening, you know, with those athletes, then I'd like to.
You are in the prep. It says that you thought about running for mayor of Las Vegas. Is that true? Were you joking when you said that, or like it's actually you have aspirations?
No. I mean, like in like 30 years, I said that, okay. And I think I said it. I think I said on the podcast like that's a long way away. But yeah, no, I definitely would love to do that. But like when I'm in like my 50s or 60s, like not anytime soon. It's just kind of like something I aspire to do one day.
Many years from now, like when you're Jimmy's age. Oh, Jimmy, I'm like...
No, dude, it's funny you say that, because as she said, it's like, that's how you know you're getting older, when somebody goes, way in the future, when I'm in my 50s, you're like, oh, shit, I am. I am the future. And
you are, exactly.
I don't know if we asked you this already, because I don't, again, my memory is so bad. So if we have, but you were Megyn Kelly's assistant at one point.
Yeah.
Which I love her. I think she's fantastic. I don't know. She's not back in broadcasting at the moment, or is she on air anywhere?
You know what? I actually think she might have started a podcast. I was her assistant in 2008.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was super challenging. I mean, she is incredibly intelligent, obviously, as you can tell. But she's also, like, very hardworking. And she, you know, I've said this before, but, like, I feel like I've learned as much from her as I have, like, in my actual education between college and graduate school. I mean, she just, the way she conducts herself, the way she does her research, just there were a lot of things that on and off camera I learned from her, and it was not easy, I'll tell you that much, but it I'm so glad I had that experience.
Yeah, someone who's easy on you or someone who's easy to work for, you probably don't learn as much and you're not forced to do things a certain way. But if someone is difficult because they're like, you know, they're driven, it's probably, in the long run, it probably teaches you more.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was an election year. So that was during the whole election cycle. It wasn't just like, okay, she's, you know, got a lot going on and she has this certain level of expectations. It was then, okay, add in that I'm a full-time college student, also working this job full-time 6 days a week. And then, you know, having all this crazy stuff happening in the world and people on both sides coming in. And yeah, it was honestly, like, I don't even know how I did it. I would take a 4:12 a.m. train from South Orange, New Jersey, where I went to college at Seton Hall. I'd work all day until, like, I think I took, like, a 1:52 home from Penn Station back to South Orange, went to school until, like, 8. I had an afternoon class and then evening class, and then was a college senior in the nighttime hours as well.
So now with all the people, that was at Fox, right? That was at Fox?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So with all those people coming in, did you meet anybody there? Was there anybody there that you wanted to meet that you got to meet? Or was there anybody coming in that you're like, oh shit, that person's here and I would love to say hello to them?
Yeah, well, I mean, this has nothing to do with politics, but they came in and I got to meet them. I was so stoked. But Joe Torre and Derek Jeter.
That was yeah, okay.
I mean, as a lifelong Yankees fan, that was just like, I do not care what I have that day. I will be available. Yeah. I got to meet them, photos, autographs. Like, it was every, like, you know, Yankee fan's dream. So no, that was definitely. But in terms of politics, I mean, at the time, it was really cool to meet Rudy Giuliani. I mean, it was 2008. You know, September 11th wasn't really that far removed, and he was at that point, you know, somebody who was really important to the city of New York. So that was interesting. It was just neat to meet everybody, and some left good impressions, and some did not.
Sure.
Shit, man. New York needs another guy like Giuliani. Holy shit, man. Sorry.
No, I have a lot of friends just telling me the different things that are going on there. I mean, it's wild. We haven't been back since, I don't think I've been there since maybe our last fight at Madison Square Garden last November. And even then, we were walking for pizza after the show and I was like, oh, things are different.
Yeah, Jimmy walks around with, like, nunchucks in his back pocket. I told him Mace would be better, but he likes do that fucking thing.
I do. Yeah. I just take him out and I hold him like that. People are like, all right, this guy knows. He knows what he's doing. Yeah. That's the most intimidating. It's the pull and the chain.
Sure. Yeah, exactly.
Well, listen, Megyn, are you doing anything fun? We know that there's a bunch of Fight Island stuff coming up. I'm bummed that they haven't had fights for three. It's crazy how spoiled we've gotten with fights every weekend. It's like, that's my Saturday night because I'm not doing gigs. So I'm like, I'm watching the fight. And now for 3 weeks, I'm like, what do I have to? I have to interact with people in my personal life and it's awful for them and me. So are you looking forward to going back? And why do you think they took this 3 weeks off?
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm so looking forward to going back. It feels weird to not have worked this past weekend. I mean, I've worked so many in a row, but it's really nice to have a little bit of a break. Our production team works so hard. And it's, for the most part, it's all the same people every week. You know, you'll have some people have to take a weekend off here and there. But I mean, it's just this incredible, incredible crew who deserve, you know, a couple of weeks of just being able to breathe for a second. But I think, you know, I think there's some things with, like, the ESPN schedule and, you know, making sure fighters are prepared. And, you know, so I think that the 3 weeks they were like, all right, we can do that. You know, because traditionally there's a lot of bowl games going on. There's a lot of college football, NFL playoffs and stuff. So, but coming back to Fight Island, man, I cannot wait. It's weird because I think everybody was, like, a little pessimistic about Fight Island the first time. Like, what's this going to be like, you know? But now it feels like home away from home. We've got our routines. We know where everything is. We have our restaurants. So, yeah.
I'm going to be on that pool in the nice rooftop pool, Jimmy. getting a nice tan. I'll be sending you pictures, Jimmy. I mean, pictures.
Well, that's really great. I want to go to Fight Island. So I think, Megan, maybe you could mention, because you have more pull, I think, because Matt, I've been asking to get me out there. I don't want to do anything for work, though. I just want to go and just eat room service.
Okay. Okay. I mean, I feel like we could use you there, like a morale. Could you give us like a pep talk before the shows or something?
No. I mean, I really don't have anything to offer in way of positive thinking.
You might just say, I'm nervous. And it might just bring like a weird vibe to it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, have a great new year. We love having you on. And good luck with the new podcast. I think it's the stories are interesting. Of course, Ian Hynes, Rose, and whoever else you get. It's an amazing idea for a podcast. And you're really great at what you do. So we're fans.
Thank you guys so much. I appreciate your time. Matt, I'll see you soon. Jim, hope to see you as well.
All right, Megan, have a great new year. And I'll talk to you in 2021.
Tell Joe we said hi. Tell
Joe. Right, give Joe our best. Take care.
I will. Thanks. Bye. Bye.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
All right. Well, listen, thank you so much to Marvin Vettori and of course, to Megan O'Leary. And listen, thank you to all the unfiltered supporters who have been so good. The Army, who have been very good to us. This is our final show of 2020. And we're back, obviously, next week in full schedule.
Goodness, Jimmy, it's true. I did not know that.
That's right. And
this
pandemic, we are at least seeing a light at the end of the tunnel. So hopefully sometime in this coming, 6 to 8 months, things will start to move more normal. But thank you to everyone who supported us and to the guys that we work with, Antonio and all the other guys behind the scenes, Zuri and all these other guys who have taken great care of us and make sure the show gets put on. And thank you to Dana for not firing us. Let me start there. Thanks, Dana, for not firing Matt and I. That's the number one thank you.
Oh, my God. If he did that, there would be people would just – well, they might get over it eventually. But if heard that first, they would be very upset.
They'd be like, whoa, what the fuck?
My DMs would be blowing up. I miss you already. But, Jimmy, I love you.
I love you, pal.
And I'm going to talk to you shortly.
I'll talk to you in a bit. Take care, Matt. And thank you, everybody. Have a great new year. And we will why did I have to hit the table? We'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.